For daily editorial, we are kind of edging towards what I would call a one world government, as Jimmy said when we were talking about this off mic. Klaus Schwab, speaking before world leaders at the G20, said the following, and I quote, "What we have to confront is a deep, systematic, and structural restructuring of our world. This will take some time, and the world will look differently after we have gone through this transition process." I find that to be kind of scary. How about you, Jim?
Yeah. I mean, there's no question he's attempting to shape the entire future of the world and human beings by his ideology and the people that he's built up through the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, the other quote that's an interesting one, you'll by 2030, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy about that. He said that. It's quoted many, many, many places.
Okay.
So basically, he did it in the World Economic Forum. And the idea is exactly that, restructuring the world based on a kind of a almost in a fascist way, where governance is completely connected with industry, and then they dictate terms. There's no republic, there's no representative democracy.
Yeah.
And it's the problem right now is there is so much money and so many people involved in this ideology that really have the power, and they're basically bought off by these powers, you know, by these, and they use their influence. Again, and we were talking off mic, major corporate media is no longer there to provide information, it's to provide propaganda. They are the spokespeople for this entire ideology, which actually equates very nicely with socialism and with the democratic platforms.
Yeah.
So they're paid proponents. They're using the media as paid proponents for an ideology, and then large number of media figures, especially in the mainstream media, and of course those editorial boards and the people we've talked about, the owners of these things that drive the train, the directors of these media corporations, it's about money for them, and where the money is where you get the influence, and you buy influence through staying connected with this entire ideology, this ideology of globalism and breakdown of borders and expansion of basically a free flow of capital, free flow of labor, which idealistically sounds like a wonderful idea in some kind of utopian future. But as we know, the human population actually never finds utopia, it usually just disintegrates. And I think this push is actually going to, in time, we don't know how long, but in time will be fought against very strongly by people that actually want to own things and want to have direction in their life and not be controlled by a corporate media or by a corporation that is buying out power inside Washington or Beijing or anywhere else.
Well, what I find to be interesting is there is some truth in Schwab's statement that what we have to confront is a deep, systematic, and structural restructuring of our world.
He's making that happen, though.
He is starting to, yeah.
So he's that. Why do we have to confront what he wants to do?
I mean, it just seems to me that he ought to be just pushed out the door, but that doesn't seem to be happening.
Nope, because there's too many people that he has developed through this. You know, I mean, this has been going on for he started 1971, the WEF, the World Economic Forum.
WEF, yeah.
Yeah, and he put together the Young Forum for Young Global Leaders in 2004. There's a bunch of prime ministers and presidents and corporate leaders that are part of that whole ideology, and he's infiltrated with this ideology. He's infiltrated numerous government staffing positions, and again, it's buy off. It's corporate ideology that says, "Hey, look, we know better than you, and you shouldn't have a choice in your future." And in some cases, a lot of people are showing that the idiots that voted for their demise in this recent midterm elections, maybe they don't deserve a vote, but at the same time, I believe everybody deserves a vote.
Yeah, of course.
An educated vote would be good.
Yeah.
Facilitating illegal voting or manipulating and influencing people without knowledge, I think that's very bad and should be stopped.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. I don't know. It's interesting the direction that we're going in right now. And I'm not, my statement isn't based at all on what happened in the last election here in America. My statement is based on what's going on, really, I would have to say, internationally. There is a big push for globalism, and globalists truly believe, because I've talked to some of them, and they really believe deep down that globalism is better for the world, and that's what we want to accomplish. And that just goes back to the green agenda. Same thing, the green agenda is better for the world, and that's what needs to be accomplished.
Right, and those are propaganda tools, just like communism would be better for the world. And there were, you know, hundreds of millions of people that actually thought, believed strongly, and some clearly still do believe strongly that that's the utopian future for mankind.
Exactly.
Through communism and that whole ideology that you basically are part of a big machine and that you'll all do well for each other.
Yeah.
And that'll benefit everyone. The reality is it never works that way because there's always aberrations in the
system. There's always people who want to be the leaders.
And right, and that will eventually use their power to overcome others and to influence. And that's what we're facing right now. That's the challenge that we're facing. A lot of people just don't understand it.
I don't know. I don't get it. I know a lot of people on our side seem to get it, though. I find some of the comments to be very abrasive that are coming up right now. A lot of negative emotion coming out of those comments, but I'm starting to see why.
Well, there's a lot of frustration, and everybody wants to blame somebody.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to blame someone. You know, the first attacks for this election failure were to Trump.
Yeah.
Then the next ones are Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy and Ronna McDaniel. And the next one will be Joe Biden. I mean, and for some of our listeners, our writers out there, they're looking at an evil they do not understand and blaming people. The Jewish community, for instance.
Yeah.
There are people that have manipulated, that are Jewish, that have manipulated financial markets in order to their advantage.
Yeah.
Does that mean that all Jewish people are evil? No, it does not. Americans, Westerners, white people, black people, it doesn't matter. There are individuals that are good and bad, and those people that have power will use it to their advantage.
Of course they will.
And you can't, and you don't want to take away the opportunity for someone to do well, but you need a structure, a government that you can trust, and information, free speech, discussion, open transparency, to be able to call out those abuses when they come so people can make good decisions.
Yeah.
When you silence those voices, when you close that off, and that's exactly what the tech companies doing and the media propaganda tools for globalism are doing right now, then you really don't have a viable alternative and people don't understand. And that's what exactly happened in the former Soviet Union. They silenced opposition voices.
Yeah.
In every tyrannical regime, that's exactly how they maintain power. So the expectation here will be a bigger clampdown on free speech and information that would counter a narrative that wants a globalization.
Jim, let me ask you a question. Now, globalization, in my opinion, is kind of a scary philosophy. And when somebody like Schwab comes out and says what we have to confront is a deep systematic and structural restructuring of our world, I mean, the guy absolutely, he wants to go down in history as being basically the big kahuna behind this. And I find that to be interesting. I don't find it to be terrifying, but I find that to be interesting. I'd like you to tell me how you think America is playing into his hand, if you think it is.
I certainly think the Democratic Party is playing into his hands, but the Democratic Party, well, and the Republican Party, actually many people inside the Republican Party, and the reason why they're doing it is because they look at the money they need, quote, to get reelected, to maintain power. And so they'll accommodate these corporations that have the influence, that have the media, that want to have a broader, wide open system that they can do whatever they want with, at the disadvantage of American workers and American industry.
Yeah.
And for the financial gain and profit. So they're willing to sell out because they think that's what they need. And that's the problem right now. We've got too many politicians, too many leaders on both sides of the aisle that are not looking in. How do I get the money to get reelected again and to somehow maintain power, rather than how do I look at the people in my nation and try to improve their lives?
Yeah.
And globalization and world government will not do that. It will not help. It will actually destroy you. And what will come out of this in Klaus Schwab's ideology and idea of, you know, reshaping the world,
yeah,
will be a very few, very wealthy, very powerful people that control the destinies of all mankind. And I think in America, what's happening, Al, based, you know, on your question,
yeah,
there is a fight. People are waking up and realizing that, and there's a fight against it. But the problem is they don't know how to fight. And the first problem is they are arguing with people that will not listen. And they have no voice. There's no media. There's no way. There's nobody out there in the mainstream media that will allow those voices to be heard. And the tech companies silence them. And think, you know, that's the one possibility with Elon Musk and Twitter and maybe some of these, you know, smaller sites that are gaining ground,
yeah,
where they allow voices to be heard. But the problem is, if you own the system, you control it, and you'll do anything to maintain your power. And that's the sad part of it.
Well, generally speaking, that's very true. It's always been that way. Jim, now some of the leaders or some of the members of the WEF include Trudeau, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Trudeau. He was one of these people that went to the leadership,
yeah,
school, basically. There's quite a few, actually. Tulsi Gabbard
went. Jim, give us some names.
Well, Tulsi Gabbard was one. Macron, another. Merkel was another. People within the Biden administration, though Joe Biden himself was not.
Yeah.
there's quite a few very famous, very powerful leaders out there, and a large number of corporate leaders as well.
Would you say that the Biden administration is embedded, in your opinion, in the World Economic Forum?
Oh, absolutely. I think they're responding, and they bow to those same ideologies. And I think it's because of the influences and the people.
Why would they do that? That's kind of contrary to what it's all about.
You tell me, why do they shut down U.S. energy? Why do they, U.S. energy production? Why do they reduce that? Why are they trying to push us to a future that actually is unsustainable through this whole ideology of sustainable green energy?
Yeah.
Why do they allow open borders?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Because that's what World Economic Forum and pressures and corporate entities and interests would like to see.
Yeah.
So why are they doing it? They're doing it because of influence and power, because the lobbyists and the very, very powerful media and tech companies that are buying their way and buying their future.
It's kind of an interesting challenge we have ahead of us. And the problem is, I think we're outnumbered, Jim.
I don't think we're outnumbered. I think we're outspent and we're out influenced. The numbers show something different.
Yeah.
The conservatives came out at least 4.5% higher than Democrats in this election.
Yeah.
So they're starting to stand up. You're seeing pushback. You're seeing states, state leaders, which is exactly where it should be, divesting from ESG funds.
Yeah.
Saying we're not going to if you put an ESG label on it, we're not going to invest in your fund, which is environmental sustainable governance. You're seeing the beginnings of a real uprising, of a real pushback on this. But it's going to take some time. It's going to take some coordination and thought.
Let's talk about the type of pushback, Jim. I mean, do you see us getting to the point where some of the progressives were, let's say, in Seattle during the demonstrations in Seattle? Do you see that type of pushback?
I don't see that at this point, but at some point, it probably reached that if things don't change, because people are just tired of being, they're tired of the violence. They're tired of being crushed. They're tired of economically being weaker. You've got a little bit better PPI numbers, you got a little bit better CPI numbers this week, which, fueled the market. But the reality is we're going to see higher energy costs. We're going to see continuation of some problems. Now, the Fed, with these very high interest rates, are going to slow down they're going to slow down home ownership. They're going to slow down economic activity. Some of these companies aren't going to be able to get capital. And so it'll be interesting to see how this all flows out with, you know, failures in crypto and this whole FTX exchange. And these things they're going to have an impact on the economy that's unforeseen at this point. The war in Ukraine is going to continue to have an impact on the economy. There's so many disastrous issues out there. But here's one thing, Al, that I think is essential. So there's the House, the Republicans have 217 seats in the House. They need one more seat. And I think there's seven, if I believe there's still seven left to be counted. If they actually gain control of the leadership in these committees, then there, in my view, there are four specific areas that they have to investigate if they want to bring back any integrity in our system. And they have to change leadership. They've got to change McCarthy and the McConnells out, because the McCarthys and McConnells look at the world as, I understand D.C. I know where the money is. Let's accommodate the money, and let's don't push any pressures or any buttons. But the Republicans have to get bold if they take the House, and they should in the next day or so.
Uh-huh.
They've got to investigate voter fraud all the way back to 2020. If you don't investigate voter fraud, if you don't actually sit down and have that discussion and show evidence of what was there and what happened, and the left, the Democrats have not done it at all in the last 2 years, then you will never have free and fair elections. The second part of it is they've got to go after the DOJ and the FBI for getting involved in partisan enforcement of law. They have to call them out. And it directly reflects the impact of the 2016 and the 2020 elections. So, and the 2018 election, because that midterm loss was directly the result of, you know, accusations of Russian collusion for the Trump administration.
Yeah.
Number three, the media. You have to have, and the tech companies, you have to have investigations and highlight and point out the silencing of free speech and the censoring of speech on the tech platforms and the media. If you do not do that, then you will never have a free discussion. And then the last thing that they have to do is they have to identify all the failures in the COVID response and the corruption with the pharmaceutical companies and the corporations in compliance with the media, in compliance with the Biden administration using government to silence opposition views, actually censoring free speech, in order to show the population that they've been lied to. And all four of these things, if they do not do it, we are destined to failure. The Republicans will never gain power again until we do have some sort of a violent uprising or violent revolution.
That's
which,
right. Jimmy,
God forbid, we don't want that.
That is really, really disconcerting and scary to me.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.